Welcome to Through New Eyes. I'm Mo. So, y'all, I spent a lot of time in nature, and it has taught me several lessons. The birds in the sky communicate so authentically. It's just the beauty of nature. The owl's call is always the most distinct. Unless you know me, you guys, obviously, I know y'all can't see me, but I look young for my age. Which means, of course, I've heard and seen lots of things from insensitive people. Luckily, through therapy, I've learned the best way to heal is to let it go, let it out, and forgive. The birds have taught me how easy it is to absorb and mimic what we hear and see. So send something sweet up into the sky. 'Cause have you ever heard a bird scream? I have. And it sounds terrifying. Today, we'll hear from the toxic spirituality experiences of five different Alabama millennials.
There's definitely an expectation to go to church and to be involved in your church. It's something that I was uncomfortable with and never, but it took a long time to even realize that I was uncomfortable with it. It was something where eventually you reach a point and you have to realize, am I doing this because it's a decision that I am making and that I am comfortable with, or I'm doing it because it's a decision that someone else has already made for me that I was never even aware of. It's the way you're raised, it's the expectation that you have from your friends or from your family, especially when you're raised in the church because you have so many friends who are also in the church. So it takes up a lot of your social time. It's just that's how it's all you know. So there's definitely an expectation or pressure to continue to conform to that when you reach the point where you're trying to determine, am I doing this because this is what I believe and this is what I want to be doing, or I'm doing this because almost in a weird way, like I was trained to believe this way. And you have to decide, you don't know if you're actually making a decision yourself or if you're doing something without even putting thought into it. You're like a zombie. You just do it because that's all you know to do.
This is the Bible Belt. I mean, if you black, white, anything, 20, 30 years ago, you went to church. Church was where everyone went Sunday. It was expected of you, whether you were, if you had been out to the club that Saturday night, you was to wake up Sunday, 9 o'clock, you need to be your butt in church. Yes, every Sunday we went to church. Every Sunday afternoon we had a program. Every Sunday evening we had a Sunday evening service. We would be in church all day, from sun up to sundown. I can remember one time went to church. We had a second program, and I can remember my brother going up to the pulpit because my mom, she was a pastor. We went to a second program. This was in like the middle of July, and in Alabama, it's hot as hell. We went to this church, and they didn't have any air. We walk in, they have the doors open, the windows open, and all of a sudden, I can turn over and look at my brother, and he got his button-down white shirt unbuttoned with a fan, one of them little church fans. He fanned it himself, talking about it's hot. And so I'm like, Tyler, it'll be all right. We're gonna be out of here in a little bit. And so soon after a while, I remember telling him it's gonna be all right. And soon after a while, he gets up out of the pew and walks up to the pulpit in the middle of a sermon. The middle of a sermon, this boy walks up and he ain't nothing more than what, 7 years old? Walks up in the pulpit and tugs on the speaking pastor's robe and says, "I'm hot. It's time to go." And can you imagine like how it was to go to church? Every day on a like three times within a day at church in June, July, August. It's hot, 90 degree heat, 100% humidity, and you in a church that has no air. Yes, that's very, very uncomfortable.
Well,
here, huh? Yeah. I can remember also when I went to the Holiness Church, there would be women that would fall out over, fall out on the floor. I can remember when they would be knocking almost their wigs off. I can remember, you know, just feeling like I was a little bit uncomfortable. It made me feel scared. It made me feel like I didn't want to be there almost. And then I felt a little bit bad for my cousins that were there. I felt bad that I wasn't really sometime there to like get you all out, because I knew if I felt uncomfortable, then you all probably felt uncomfortable. That was one part of the church I didn't like, and I don't speak too much on, but I really didn't like. I didn't like that part of it. Don't want to talk to this about it.
Yeah, he was talking to me. My hand is raised. I grew up in the Holiness Church in rural Alabama. It's a really sensitive subject for me to talk about, but it's definitely one that I felt needed to be brought up, especially in the social climate that we're in right now. Too much of anything is never good. But hey, don't take my word for it. Let's jump into another story.
So in the beginning, it was just revivals, you know, go to this revival, go to this church service. I can vividly remember, oh, your pantyhose, they have a run in them. Let me hurry up, let's get dressed. So as a child, we went to these holiness services. And at any rate, when we were there, it was just shocking. I remember one night we had on pants. The minister says, no more breeches. And I'm looking like, why can't we wear pants, mama? And after that, we no longer wore pants because she demanded that we stop. So that control mechanism was always there, you know, continued on through my childhood, through my adulthood, you know, not wearing pants, not wearing makeup. You know, teenagers want to wear makeup, but she didn't allow it. So we sitting there looking like a plain Jane, looking like a hag, and was nothing we could do. You look in the mirror when you're trying to find yourself, who am I? And all you can say is, I'm a hag. All you see in the reflection of yourself is, who am I? A hag. Yeah, when I went to school, I knew that I was different from all other kids. I couldn't wear pants. I couldn't wear makeup. So the kids just kind of singled me out. I was very smart in school. And when I go to the gym, they'd say, why aren't you wearing pants? Why aren't you wearing shorts? Because I had a long dress on over my shorts. And I had to do the bouncy balls in a big dress, play basketball in a big dress. And I'm just feeling different, feeling like, wow, other kids get to wear pants and I don't. And just feeling that difference that my mother instilled in me, you are different. You don't conform. You don't fit in. You are Christian. You are whatever you want to call it. I don't consider it as Christianity, but you are brainwashed. Well, being a double minority on top of being a religious guru is to the point where how can you find yourself when you do not know what self is? Being a teenager especially is the time that you're looking, who am I? Who am I? What do I want to do when I grow up? But all this gets warped. All this warped on the fact that you are black, on the fact that you are a female, on the fact that whatever, whether you're male or female, you have church on top of this. Church, three services, you know, sometimes four services in the run of a day. Bible study, then take it to the holiness every day. You go to church and clap, 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 purge yourself and be in a family dynamic that's dysfunctional. So a purging was the term that they used to just stand at the altar and clap. Clap, 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 clap. Purge me, oh Lord. Purge me, oh Lord. Then you had to fast for days. I still remember my mom passing out in church because she was purging. purging herself, purge me, oh Lord, purge me, oh Lord. But the drasticness of it was drink water, drink juice until you just fall out. And when you fall out, you just fall out. So the life that we live was very contradictory. On the one hand, we grew up in the cafe, Michael Jackson, Prince, you know, living the life, fun, enjoyment of my life, childhood. But then it was such a contradictory life that my parents, not so much my father as my mother, lived, you know, holy, 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 Monday through Friday, church, church, church. But then at home, under the curtain, more strict, more dynamic of stressful and evil, you know, type of personality, you know, almost narcissistic, so much as bad vibes, bad energy. Well, I would definitely say religion played a big part in the dysfunction and toxicity of my family. Had one aunt to become a minister. I would even so far to say contradictory lifestyle that she led, always, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, but then contradictory, such as, you know, talking about, gossiping about her church members, telling their business to family. It's something that I don't think you should do as a minister. You know, you should keep some things confidential. She did not. Raising the holiness, you know, no pants, wear no makeup, looking like a damn, you know, hoodlum or like a hag. Well, in my life today, I have disregarded my childhood. I've disregarded, totally disregarded the religion. But during that time, it was really, would you say, abnormal. You know, we went to church and we didn't get out till 3 o'clock in the morning at these revival services. 3 o'clock in the morning, we had school the next day. We were just a kid. We had to be in church all day long. We lived at church. It consumed our life. And at some point you look back and you're like, wow, where did the time go? And I was in church so long. And then you think about what does this do to my personality? How does this affect me in the long haul? I'm an adult now. Looking back on all that, you wonder why I don't attend church. I was churched out. Enough is enough. And I'm tired of it. And sometimes I don't go. But then I get the lash back from my parent, you know, my mother, because my father's passed away. But I get the lash back from her who made us go that many times. Why you not going to church? Why you not going to church? Because I don't want to. I'm churched out.
Should there be a control mechanism involved within religion? You know, should someone have that much authority and control over other people's lives? And, you know, if they have so much power and control to, you know, manipulate what you wear every day, are they also manipulating who you vote for? That's just a side note. Let's continue with the show.
I grew up in church and, you know, I remember this one Sunday where the church that I grew up in, the pastor was quite eccentric. He was, you know, I look back on it, he was definitely that quintessential egomaniac kind of guy, you know, where you give money to the building fund and he shows up in a Mercedes kind of thing. And it wasn't a black church now. It was a pretty diverse and the pastor was white. But I remember this one Sunday where he was preaching about something, and you know how you know there's all these folks that live in the past and have all these restrictions on themselves that are completely unnecessary. And it was like, oh, look at sister so-and-so. I mean, she's wearing all the makeup in the world now, but I know how she grew up, and she would not have been allowed in that church with all that makeup on. I mean, he said that from the pulpit. That is just crazy. Crazy. And so, you know, if you go to church and you're just like, oh my gosh, I hope the pastor isn't saying something about me, or you're mm-hmm. sitting there and you're listening and like, man, it sounds like the pastor's talking about somebody in here. Like that to me is what I was probably the most afraid of. If your pastor is supposed to be a counsel, supposed to be someone you trust, and then they turn around and you are the message mm-hmm. that they give out on Sunday. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. That was crazy.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and she's very Christian and I'm very not. And we were talking about homosexuality, and she's like, my religion tells me it's wrong, which I'm like, well, that's bullshit. But she's like, I've been taught that it's wrong. She's like, I'm not going to be ugly to anybody because that's not very nice, but I don't think it's right. I don't want to see it. It, you know, I feel like it's being shoved in my face. And I was like, how is it being shoved in your face? Like, in what way? And she's like, well, I see it. Like, there, it's on, you know, the television, it's in my kids' programs, it's in, you know, and I'm just supposed to accept it. And I was like, that's really interesting, because I never would have thought to look at someone that closely.
Right.
Like, who gives a shit? Like, why am I gonna, why? I mean, it just, I love her to death, but I was just like, that's a really interesting perspective, completely opposite from mine. But the fact that you notice it, that there's something about you that it, you can only control you, and it's all about, you know, you, but you're looking at somebody else and being like, I don't like that. And you're judging them, and you know that you're judging them. And so you're trying not to judge them. And it's like this whole big thing. And I'm like, why don't you just keep your blinders on and do you? But yeah, I mean, so with Hypocrite, like, are they focusing on these other things so that you don't look at them, because then they have to look at themselves or accept themselves or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's people pick and choose which parts of, say, like the Bible that they want to use or to go along with. They'll follow a certain part until it gets to something that affects them and their everyday day-to-day life, you know, and then they're immediately like, we're out, switch that. We're just going to skip that chapter, just tear it out, throw it away. Let's move on. And then, you know, but if they come across something that affects somebody else's day-to-day life, even though it doesn't personally affect them, they're all for, like, keeping it. Like, oh, but it says right here, you know, that you have to do this. Yeah, I mean, it just, it's one of those things. If I go in and you're giving a sermon, and your very first sermon that I hear is about how I'm supposed to give through the offering plate, when this church is 3 stories tall and 4 miles wide, and okay, like, what am I donating to at this point? You know, like, what was wrong with the old church? Why is this now, you know, a part that you don't really use for anything, and everything's over here in this? Like, I'm pretty sure the congregation will fit in both. And I'm pretty sure if it didn't, no one would mind standing up. The easiest way to put religion is that everyone needs a reason. Everyone needs that one thing that, you know, gets them through life, helps them, makes them a better person, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, if you need that, that's fine and dandy. It's just when you go above and beyond, like using it as an excuse to hate or to keep other people down is when you've kind of taken it too far, I think, or, you know, misunderstanding things. Like, I've noticed a lot of people, and I'm sure there are other religions, not just like Christians, but they're the quickest ones to pull things from like the Old Testament and then try to back it up with stuff from the New Testament. But if you was a hoe back then, your ass would have got stoned. Don't play. Don't play.
I hope y'all enjoyed this week's episode of Through New Eyes. Join us next week. We will be talking about the pressures to conform in the South, and we'll also dive into code switching. All right, so till then, one love, peace.